Welcome to QuakeCast, the podcast for id Software's classic Quake and the games it inspired.
Hey, welcome to the QuakeCast. Our guest this week is Greenwood. Greenwood's a prolific mapper. He's only been on the scene for a little while, but man, he has done a ton of maps. We're going to talk about that soon. This episode is sort of a trial run for a new segment that we're going to bring to the QuakeCast, and we're calling it Greenwood's Vanilla Scoops. And that'll be, you'll understand why in just a second. So without further ado, let's get into Greenwood's interview. So Greenwood, welcome back to QuakeCast. How are you doing and what are you up to these days?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you. As far as what I've been doing lately, a couple things. One is I've been working on some standalone releases, based on like major, you know, the main themes. Like I did one base map that I released right around Christmas time called Off Base that you're probably familiar with. Plenty of speed maps, and I've done some jams, and, I didn't realize when, Bal had that tally that I did like 12, 13 maps last year. It's crazy how time flies by. But I wanted to do, you know, I figured it's time now for me to have a standalone release. So what I did, what most people do when they do their first standalone, I did a base map. And then a little while ago, I did a runic standalone map called The Bunker of Barzai. And so far, it's a short little map. And it's got a lot of, you know, some good feedback from folks. I've seen a couple recorded playthroughs on YouTube where people seem to be digging it, so that's good. And then now, currently, I'm working on a medieval standalone map. So yeah, the way I'm kind of going is I got base, then runic, then medieval, and then I hope to down the road tackle a wizard standalone map. And then kind of I talked with the other day, you know, Ziggy, we mentioned before about playthroughs that he does on YouTube. He's one of the Finnish mapper. He was one of the Finnish mappers on the, I can't pronounce it, but you know what I mean? The Finnish map jam.
Yeah. Minnetetin Valdukunda.
Yeah.
Minnetetin Valdukunda, I believe it's.
Yeah, Hakuna Matata, you got it. That's okay, right.
Exactly.
No, I'm not even going to try to attempt to pronounce that because number one, I don't have it in front of me, and number two, I'd probably butcher it. I don't want to offend the Quake Finnish brethren out there. But yeah. But I think most of the American goofballs probably just call it the Finnish map jam.
Right, or Smej.
Or Smej. Yeah, I don't know if I like that one. It sounds too much like something else. But I'll just call it the Finnish map jam.
Sure.
And so I was talking with Ziggy, you know, and I said to him, you know, what'd be kind of cool is if I take my theme maps and I kind of, when I'm all said and done, kind of merge them together into an episode.
Yeah, you're a busy mapper. And, you know, just to remind people, you've only been mapping for what now? 7, 8, 9 months, I think it was, because you started in May. And by the way, I'm looking at Ball's Quake Maps in 2020 spreadsheet, and there are 26 single-player Quake Maps so far this year, and you are in the lead with 4 map releases in 2020. So
4? That's awesome.
Yeah. Let's see. What do we have? We have Jump Jam.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's 2 from Jump Jam.
Yeah, 202 from Jump Jam. And then you've got your SM205. And where's the last one? I guess.
SM205 counts? I thought that was last year.
I don't know. That's what he's got on here.
Wasn't SM205 yours?
I don't even remember. What was it? No, that was a randomizer. That's Zungri.
Then that was this year. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Well, and there then, you go. Then,
And then I just got done. I just turned in my SM206.
Yeah.
The prototype one. And then there's also the bunker one. If I keep going at this rate, it's going to be ridiculous. I got to slow down.
Right. But you're also a map connoisseur. You've been playing a lot of maps. And so this is why you're on the show right now, because we're kind of unveiling a new feature on the QuakeCast. And there's going to be more content generated from this feature. So why don't we talk about what we're up to now? What are we up to today?
It was a while back. A long while back, actually, it was probably with you when I was working on some of my earlier maps. You kind of did the whole, like, you know, go out there and play some more old, you know, play some more classic maps. And I'm like, okay. And I started, you know, going through Quidicted and playing a bunch of maps. So what I was doing is, my thought is, okay, there, you know, maybe there's some mappers back in the day that churned out some maps, and you know, but I mean, I kind of have a, I like to have a, maybe you want to call it a cynical, optimistic view that, you know, even with, you know, some of the stuff churned out, there's got to be a lightning in the bottle. Like, everybody's got to have at least one good map. Okay. So my thing was, let's make a list of the best vanilla map per author. And I started creating this list, and I figured this way we get, you know, you can get a lot of variety of different mappers throughout the years. It's almost like a timeline. You can see the really cool, fun maps, and, you know, and they don't all have to be huge maps. Sometimes, you know, there's a really cool 10-minute map that you can jump in and play, or maybe maybe a map introduced a really interesting gimmick or a concept or a gameplay, you know, slant. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Just something that stands out from an individual author. So what you're doing is you're putting together a list of the best maps per author. So vanilla, and because you don't want to get into mods or any of that. So something that people could just drop on their hard drive and play, and you know it's good because Greenwood, like the Greenwood seal of approval for this one.
Well, so, I don't want to make it out like, you know, I'm
No. I'm joking. I'm
some joking. Kind of, you know, it's just, but yeah, it's like I've gone through and I've played a bunch of, you know, maps from, you know, a particular individual, and I think this one is pretty darn cool. And yes, the whole thing is I wanted the best vanilla map, you know, where somebody could just take a BSP, maybe, you know, a colored light file if it came with it. But, you know, is that necessary? No, not to play it. But is it nice? Sure. But basically taking just the BSP and plopping it in the maps folder and just going to town. And, you know, that's it. You know, let's see what this particular designer can do within the constraints of the standard id progs, and just see what they come up with. And of course, with some authors, it can be a challenge because there's some folks out there that are quite prolific and very, very good. You know, like, let's say, like, you know, just, you know, not to throw out names, but, like, you know, let's say like a Skaki. Skaki maps are, you know, he doesn't really put out a garbage map. So trying to, you know, find the best vanilla Skaki map is a bit of a challenge. Now you're going to have to, you know, then you have to kind of get into gameplay or, you know, why, you know, unusual factor or what have you. But then again, with some authors, you know, maybe they went mod crazy after they did, you know, after their first couple of vanilla maps. They just, you know, did nothing but just travail mods after that. And then they just kind of fell off the map. They just kind of went away. Maybe they got married or moved on or found Jesus. Who the heck knows? But they stopped.
Yeah, one hit wonders. Right?
That's right. They stopped mapping. And you know, maybe they discovered bourbon. Who knows? I don't know. They just stopped mapping. And then on rare occasion you might have somebody who literally just did a map. And if the map is good and it's a point of interest, then why not? Let's take a look at it and see what it's all about. But I mean, I'm not, you know, just including names just for the sake of, you know, if somebody did like one map and it didn't have an exit and it's got misaligned textures and it's just got two people in it or two monsters in it, I'm not going to put on the list.
Sure.
You know, it's got to be at least, you know, decent, you know, nice map and playable.
Yeah, let me back up and tell everybody what we're up to. So what we're going to do is, this is going to be a regular segment, depending on feedback. You know, if everybody hates it, then maybe we won't do this. But I think everybody's going to like it. I'm already a fan. I think this is cool. We're going to take, you know, maybe not every episode, but in quite often, we're going to have one little segment and Greenwood's going to come on as a guest and then jump in and give us a cool little recommendation for a vanilla map from this kind of list that you're cultivating, that you're curating. And we're going to pop that into the Quakecast. And then also, most likely, I hate making promises because my time is so stretched, but we're going to probably have it on my channel as a separate, my YouTube channel as a separate series. So we'll edit whatever people are hearing here. We're going to see, add visuals to it. And possibly kind of an opening and closing and maybe even other information, that kind of stuff. So it's like a content palooza on maps. But I love what you sent me five yesterday, or I was able to download them yesterday, and all of them are interesting. All of them are really kind of kooky, you know, in their own way, but good. I mean, they're all good stuff. So, and only one of them I had played before. That's what we're attempting. And for today's Quakecast, we decided, you know, for this episode, let's just do five and, you know, kind of give a little kind of a cross section of what you've looked at and see where this takes us. So why don't you start with your first map?
So the first one I have is from a mapper called Tony Newton, like Isaac Newton, but Tony Newton. And it came out, it says on Quidicted April 98, but actually the BSP file actually has a 97 date. So this is an old map, and it's called The Stores. And it's a base map, a small to medium map. It's 55 enemies. There's no apparent skill settings. So when you jump in, regardless if you're skill 0 or, you know, skill 2, you know, easy to hard, that's what you're coming up against is 55 critters. There are some unmarked secrets. So it does say that there's no secrets, but trust me, there are some, because they're needed for progression. You know, even though it's, you know, you might look at it as, oh, this is, you know, it's just a kind of a generic base map. Exploration is needed for progression. It's about a 10 room approximately map, including an underwater kind of like miniature cavern area. And what I would say, but it's got a nice solid construction to it, is what I would say is you do need to do, I would say, to take a dip. You do want to do a little bit of swimming. I'll give you that hint without not giving too much of a spoiler away. Do a little bit of swimming if you want to decide to check out this map. Because it is needed for, in order to progress through the map. And also, once you attain the silver key, when you go to the other side of the map, do explore the map. There is a very shallow button that you're going to have to come across that will, help you find, or that will reveal the hidden gold key. It's definitely not difficult to find, but for somebody just like kind of running through real quick, you might miss out. But it's you know, it's got some neat arc. You know, it's again a very solid construction, very clean. It's got a, in one particular area, it's got this nice little spiral staircase going on. Yeah, it's like it's just a good, you know, for a 90, like a late 97 map. It's a nice clean map. And nice. I would say it's probably like, it, as far as difficulty, I'd say it's like a id, like, mm-hmm. you know, like a standard id. If you're looking for more difficulty, then I would say just, you know, crank it up to Nightmare and see what happens.
You know, I noticed I went to the Quadicted page on this thing and it has the spiral staircase in there and some nice chains kind of on the lift there. And then I just noticed it was reviewed by Shambler way back when, like way back when.
Yeah.
So let's see. I've got the links on the Quadicted, but it says yet another base map. For some reason, map authors tend to make more good base maps than anything else. I'm just kind of taking a look here. But yeah, I mean, it's just kind of fun to look back because, you know, Shambler has been a level reviewer for many, 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 many years. And this is from back in Wednesday, December 16th, 98. So it's kind of a hoot to see that. But anyway, so moving on to your next chronological, let me see if I can, looks like a warehouse. Like yeah. Your next one.
Yeah. The next map is from an author named Leafface. I think I'm pronouncing that right. It's kind of a funny name, Leafface.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually came out New Year's Day of 2000, and it's called Warehouse. And as you can imagine, with such a cryptic name like that, the setting is a warehouse. This one's also a base map. It's got a little bit more of an expanded bestiary, what have you. It's got ogres, fiends, and a shambler. So it kind of almost takes on, you know, some people, you know, try to adhere to just a strict base enemy type of lineup. And then some do include some mappers. They'll tend to do like an expanded base enemies, like, but they'll just make sure not to put in knights or hell knights. They'll like, I'll expand it out to some fantasy creatures, but definitely no medieval. You know, there's different kinds of people's preferences. Some people, you know, it's basically, you know, if it's not enforcers and grunts and some Rottweilers, then, you know, if you put anything else in there, then, you know, you're it's like sacrilege. And then some people, they're like, well, if you have it to where there was a slip gate or a teleporter and some critters from an alternate reality or parallel universe, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I've never had an issue with that because the second map in the game, episode one, map two, has a teleporter slipgate pad at the very beginning where you spawn. And that just justifies whatever wants to come through that slipgate. Now, so I do not have a problem when people make a medieval, you know, wizard base, or I'm sorry, a wizard themed map and their base monsters in it because, you know, you're showing how they got there.
Yeah,
it's really easy. It's a real easy problem to fix, you know, to solve. And you can also assume that there are slipgate pads, even if the mapper doesn't put it in there, because that's the whole point. That's the whole story of the game, is that these monsters are all over from multiple dimensions and multiple universes congregating to destroy everything.
Yeah.
in their wake. Well, so I've never understood this purity test that people have, like, oh, don't put base monsters and you know, mix those with the wizard.
Oh, I know everybody's got their opinion, and it's cool.
This is just one man's opinion.
But yeah, it's cool.
I think it's well founded.
And even with my base map that I released not too long ago, what I try to do is I had gigantic crates that basically look like they had been busted open, almost like the base, like the base military dudes had like some contained critters from different galaxies or whatever that escaped and, you know, wreaked havoc. But anyway, getting back to Leafface map, it's called Warehouse. It's a base map with a little bit of, you know, some ogres and occasional fiend and a shambler. It's a medium-sized map. On easy, it's about 41. Medium, 81. And on hard level, 119.
Jeez.
Enemies. There's four secrets. What's really cool about this map, this designer, Leafface, he was quite prolific in the year 2000, churning out about 9 maps for his series, his whole Leafface single player series. And when you play them, like if you play, like, let's say Leafface's single player 1, well, guess what? That's going to roll into single player 2. This one here, this warehouse, is, I believe, it's single player. It's his fourth release. And the reason I picked this one in particular is that it had arguably the most straightforward navigation and progression. Some of the maps that he had prior or even after this, you could get, you know, maybe a little confused or lost with the progression. Mm-hmm. This one had some really nice progression. It was constructed very... very cleanly, and I really got a kick out of the use of the conveyor belts and crates. Like when you first start off the map, you were literally riding on top of a crate, and then you know, and another part about midway, maybe a little earlier than midway through the map, once you get through like a tunnel and you fight off some bad guys. You literally have to push a button when you're on a crate, and I'm gonna just give you a little warning right here. Make sure you don't jump off that crate, because that crate's going to move and lift you and transport you to another section of the map. And if you jump off that sucker, guess what? You better go ahead and just start the map over again, because it's not coming back around. So I will give you that warning, but it's just really well done, this whole warehouse, conveyor belts, crates. There's also some interesting gimmicks. Like there's one section of the map where you're inside like almost kind of like an air conditioning duct, and this like payload or something comes barreling at you, and you got to kind of turn the other direction, and you got to run and do these series of hurdles, jumping these hurdles, because if you don't do it correctly, you will get smushed. So it's got some really interesting gameplay additions in this map. There's some use of some explosion hacks. It's a cool map. It's a little blocky, but mm-hmm. but with it being a base warehouse, the blocky construction actually bodes well with the whole look of it. This guy Leaface, when I was looking at the README file, I think he's apparently he's a Hungarian author. Looking at the email address, and he built this using WorldCraft. You might know more about than I do.
That's basically Hammer or Jack, you know.
The only thing I would say, you know, check out his other maps too, because they're pretty cool. But this one, the reason it stood out is it had good gameplay. It was cleanly built, and it had some really neat gimmicks going on in the series. But there's one thing I would also like to point out. Make sure that you pull up the console and you type give 4. And then after that, type in give 6. And the only reason I say this is because this Leafface assumed, I guess, that you played this map after the first 3.
So you've got the weapon progression there.
Yeah,
have a certain weapon.
So if you type in give 4 and give 6, it'll give you just, you know, the basic nail gun and the basic grenade launcher. Because if you play the map, you might get a little frustrated because you'll come across all this nail ammo and you know, rockets and or grenades, rather, how you look at it. And you're thinking to yourself, where the heck is the dang, where's the other weapons? So,
you know, as I'm watching this demo you sent me, I agree with everything you're saying about it. But I will say it kind of in a subtle way reminds me of some of the Quake 2 warehouse levels. So I'm not sure, I can't tell you if it was completely, you know, it's not a remake of one, but there's definitely some nice kind of inspirations this he might have gotten from Quake 2 if he was a Quake 2 fan. The timeline works out because Quake 2 would have been out for a while. So this is cool. Yeah, highly recommended. That's great. So let's move on to your next release, which now I don't have it in front of me.
The next one is from a Sean. Goes by Kona Ross.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm familiar with Kona.
Yeah, Kona and Kona and most of Kona's maps are mod based. But this one here is vanilla. And if people out there are familiar with Kona's maps, he does some really fine brushwork. You know, the layout and the brushwork is very nice. And this one came out in also, you know, oddly enough, January 1st of the next year, 2001, and it's called Charmhood. And what's interesting about this map is it's a deathmatch single player map, and it's kind of cool. It's got 63 enemies, and also probably because of the nature of the way it's set up, the enemy count does not vary. But he's actually got a kind of a cool little story. It says here it's a Quake cathedral built of metal and wood with grand and dominant architecture of metal trim, white wooden strips and green panels. It uses Kingpin textures.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's got a really striking color scheme. It's got this green with gray color scheme with a very blood red sky. And the way the story is, it says here it's an ancient temple of worship, and Quake's warriors would go there to focus their thoughts and worship Shub, but soon the humans took over the Green Cathedral and Shub was destroyed. In time, Charmhood was retaken by Quake's forces, and it's a highly protected region. It's now set up like a giant trap. Anyone who enters will be detected by the many Quake monsters who will spawn in, and you know your only escape is to hold them off long enough for you to find the four runes required to exit. So basically, you're in this really funky deathmatch map, and then when you explore the map, you find various runes, and when you find and grab one of the runes, that's when all hell starts breaking loose. And critters spawn in, and it's got some really cool gameplay.
Yeah, I was gonna say not to cut you off, but the thing that struck me about this map is that it is tough to make a fun deathmatch map. Like if you're setting out to make a deathmatch map, and then you insert single player, it's always tough to do this elegantly. And the way this is constructed, it works perfectly. You wouldn't even like, it's very similar to the DMSP mod where I don't know if you've ever played that, but that's a really fun mod because it takes any deathmatch map and adds single player and it randomizes the spawns and everything. So it's very chaotic and it doesn't seem.
Is that the one from Art Apple?
I don't know the name of the person who did it, but
I think I've played that one. That one is pretty good.
Because there's the Conquer mod, which I have not played.
Yeah, I played that the other day.
And then there's DMSP. DMSP is really fun. But this, it doesn't feel crazy like that. This is very methodically reasoned out, and you're tripping off the spawns by killing certain waves of other monsters. And so it keeps you going around back in circles and stuff. But yeah, as I was watching your demo, I was like, obviously this is a deathmatch map. I didn't know anything about it before I watched it. But yeah, really striking visual theme. It's definitely has a point of view. And I'd love to play deathmatch on this thing too.
He includes Sean or, you know, Kona, however you want to refer to him, he includes a deathmatch version as well in the download. And I just wanted to also bring up, he's New Zealand. So going across, you know, this whole international flair, we got so far, we got I'm guessing American, we got a Hungarian, and now we got a Kiwi. So we got people from all across the globe. But no, it's a fun map, but you could tell that he did a lot of work, a lot of play testing, because it's a fun map. I've played it a couple of times, and it's inspired me. I kind of did something just recently similar in my SM206. In fact, I looked at some of the comments where I think one person even said like, this map is what Conquer should have been. Because one of the problems that, or one of the criticisms of the Conqueror mod is it starts off kind of slow. It doesn't really start getting good until like wave 13 or something, because it's, I don't know if it's the algorithms or whatever the heck it is. But you could tell this was, there's nothing random about it. When you grab the rune, he sets up, you know, these monsters in key certain areas. with intent to mess with you. And then you got to figure out how to, you know, attack them a certain way. Even the ending is kind of, it's kind of funny. It's interesting. It's a cool map.
So next on the list is something from Warren Marshall.
Warren Willem Marshall. He's also gone by Warren M. And then also, if you go back far enough, he even had yet another handle. Like, if you go back, let me see if I can pull it up here. Taskmaster. Mm-hmm. That's if you go back to like 97. So yeah, this one's from Warren Marshall. It came out in September of 2008, and it's called Evil Exhumed. And it's a pretty nice looking map. It's basically an ancient library slash ruins, and around this ancient library, you have this archaeological excavation base compound. And it's a medium-sized map. Easy, it's 65, medium, 93, and then like on hard, it's like 98 monsters. And so, and again, it's got this really neat cavern ruins area. It's got this nice like outdoor area and a nice underground area. It's very well constructed. And then you also have like a hidden laboratory. And he does this whole interesting story with these log updates that kind of pop up like, you know, like almost like a captain's log.
Yeah. And they're funny too. Yeah. They're actually pretty funny. Yeah. They're like, oh shoot, I forgot the key card. And then if you're in a different area, there's another reference to it. It's fun stuff. I mean, it's basic stuff you see in other games, but it's fun to see it in a Quake map.
Yeah. Probably a lot of people are going like, why is he just going over base stuff? And it's not intentional. Again, this was a random selection of maps, but most of the monsters are going to be like, initially anyway, are your base lineup, but there are ogres, some shamblers, and some scrags. There's also a scant few nail traps, and one point of interest is this Warren Marshall. He's been working in the game industry for like quite some time. He worked for Epic Games for like 15 years. He worked on like Unreal Tournament and Fortnite and some other stuff like that. And one thing that I thought was kind of cool was he developed this map using an editor called ToeTag.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, ToeTag? And then I looked it up. He actually developed the editor himself.
Right, and it's a Mac editor.
Yeah, and it's fairly
recent too, not super old, right?
No, I don't know. You know that I thought the same thing. I actually thought it was old. Because he had a map like going back to like 97 he did with ToeTag. But if you go to like the ToeTag SourceForge page, they make it out like it wasn't released to the public until 2008. And I think the last update was 2014. So it's
right,
so,
right.
So
it's, that's why I'm thinking that, yeah.
So it's interesting. Like he kind of like had his own version that he used, I guess, for himself. I mean, it's pretty obvious this guy knows what the heck he's doing. I mean, if he's just making his own editors for crying out loud, he's not, you know. But it's a cool map. It's a neat map. A lot of people probably know Warren Marshall for his he had one map called White Room, where it was basically like a complex where there was like a zombie outbreak or something, and like what was kind of shocking was the texture set was literally it was just everything was white. So it had this kind of like this very sterile, kind of sharp geometric, modern look to it. But that even that has a mod. I think this is his best vanilla map, and it's a cool map. I mean the amount of detail it's very well constructed. I mean it's a neat map.
Yeah, this is there's a lot of details. There's a lot of nooks and crannies, and I do like how he's got the base. Is kind of one theme, and then once you get in the underground area, it's a totally different feel to it, and not just visually, just the construction, the brushes and everything, and monsters, obviously. So, yeah, cool stuff, very fun, and you could do a lot worse.
Oh, heck yeah!
Also, you know, one thing I wanted to say, and I think this, I'm just going to double check because I'm looking at this real quick. I want to double check because Yeah. You know what I saw in this map, which was, I don't recall seeing. I'm sure other people have done it, but he's got some wizard blocks at the bottom on the outdoor area. So it's kind of like what am I trying to say? Not the cornerstone, but just kind of the base that everything's built on is wizard. So it kind of, it's just an interesting look. You know what I'm talking? You get what I'm saying here?
No, I know exactly what you're saying. Cause I think looking in, I remember when I was looking at some of the reviews here and there, I think it was One True Purple said made a similar comment. It's like, he's like, it's interesting how you mix the base with the wizard textures and it surprisingly works well together. So I didn't notice it myself initially because that's probably a good thing. You know, it pairs well together.
Right. It doesn't jump out at you. And I always like seeing things like that where you are, it's not something you would immediately jump to try. And obviously he did a little experimentation and it worked out great. I like the screens around, kind of the staticky computer screens all over the place now towards this bottom area and everything, and made it look like, you know, all hell's breaking loose. Kind of cool stuff. Great verticality in this map. At first when I saw it, I was like, oh, it's real blocky and kind of right angles. And then soon after that changed. So yeah, don't let the opening area fool you.
I know. You look at the screenshot on Quidicted and you're like, meh.
Right, exactly.
And you really don't get to see, you know, it's download it. It's not costing any money. Just download the sucker. You'll see right away. It's a very good looking map.
I also will say that it's one of the only libraries in a base that I've ever seen, which is kind of cool.
And it's a big one too. It's a huge, the library section is really particularly neat.
It's a pretty epic map. I mean, I gotta say, so
I just like the idea of this ancient library. What was that movie with Sean Connery? Was it The Name of the Rose, where it was that ancient library with the old ancient tomes, and then I think at the end it burned down. It was like, and you're looking at going like, oh my gosh, all that knowledge laid waste. Well, you know, there's a little bit of a Indiana Jonesy kind of thing going on here. It's like this ancient, you know, library and the ruins, and you know, and then you got this whole like scientific base architectural, you know, dig around it. Like they're trying to figure, you know, these evil base monsters are trying to unlock the secrets of the ancients. Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
All right, so finally, our last map is by, and let's see, when did this come out? I should know this, 2018. This is from DM4 Jam. And this is the one I had played before.
Yeah, and then the last one I have is from, author's name is Prangle. And that's like with two E's, not like the delicious potato chip. It's Prangle. And it's called Your Happier Place. And the version that I played was version 2. He stated in the README file, technically it's version 3, because he had tweaked this quite a bit. So what I would suggest that you do is that you want to download the DM4 Jam download content patch version. Because if you get the patch version, that'll have the updated BSP.
Right. So this was part of the DLC that was released much later.
Yeah.
But it did update the pack.
It's a runic map, and it's based on the fourth deathmatch level of Quake called the Bad Place. And it's a medium-sized map. It's, you know, 64 on easy, 70 on medium, 74 on hard. Lots of cool blues and endless expanses of lava. With the colored lighting, he did a really good job, I thought, with the colored lighting. Having that red glow juxtaposed with the blue. I just thought it had some good classic gameplay.
I play tested this one because I was actually admin of this DM4 Jam.
Ah.
So I kind of got early versions of quite a few of the maps, and I remember playing this one and I got lost. So I don't know if you got lost when you were playing it, but it's definitely one of those ones where I'm like, okay, wait, where am I? And every, it not, you know, the texture set is very limited on this jam, and people did add things to it later, but I just literally gave people the DM4 textures. But what people did with it just blew my mind. The combinations and the different kind of takes on that DM4. At first, I didn't think anybody would want to do this, but it ended up being a real popular thing. I think there were 21 maps, if I remember correctly, for the original release, and then a few more in this DLC. So I guess people kind of dug it. But the takeaway that for this version, I don't know about this version, but the takeaway for the version that I played was that it just, I didn't have no idea where I was, and I just kind of enjoyed being lost. And I think I backtracked a few times and eventually was able to finish it. So.
Well, I don't know. I had like zero problems.
I have a terrible sense of direction in games.
Oh, really?
That was probably just me.
Oh, well, no, I was going to say, it might not be, because I've gotten lost in maps before. I just didn't with this one. He did say he made changes to the layout in the notes. I really didn't have a problem with this one as far as getting lost. This guy Pringle was very self-deprecating in the readme. He was like, oh, I'm looking at this map again, and oh, good, I'm sick of looking at this. You know, it's like... I never would have, you know, it's, you know, but I thought it looked really nice. I thought it played well, you know, a lot of exploration, lots of, you know, some good verticality here and there. I just thought this was his best one as far as vanilla goes.
Yeah. And it's right on, spot on with the whole idea behind the jam in the first place, was just that, you know, this deep blue runic theme really has not been up until this, had not really been exploited a whole lot. You know, certainly people made maps with the theme, but it just seemed like this was less often, because it was such a unique, out of all the, 32 some odd levels and or more in Quake, it just, you don't see these textures, at, you know, especially in that combination. So he nailed it. I mean, he used everything he was supposed to use, and it feels like a single player expansion of that map. Not that it has the same layout, but it has the same themes and everything. So yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, I just found it here. Yeah, he did another map called Prolonged Absurdity, which is a nice looking map, but I thought the gameplay on this one was, you know, more classic and honestly more fun. That's my pick. For Pringle was Your Happier Place, the version 2 from the DLC.
So do you have a whole like backlog of things you want to share with people? Is that, I'm hoping you do. I mean, you've got your list going, I bet.
Oh yeah, this is just, I've got this is 5, and I probably have over 100 of these. I got a bunch of these.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. So, oh, cool. Well, I mean, great.
Game's been out for a long time. There's lots of people out there mapping. So.
No, but you've spent a lot of time collating your list. That's for sure. So, very good.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, just one more thing I want to touch on. You have a kind of a model pack. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? You have this, your preferred mixture of, you know, ammo and health and backpacks and different monsters and everything.
I sent you a model pack, and what's neat about that pack is it's just like a .pak file. So you could drop that in any source port and it works fine. But what it is that's something I've kind of collected here and there. It's kind of loosely based off of Night Frights' authentic model pack that he's had out for a while, where they basically, you know, him and some other guys, they've, you know, other folks, they've put together, they've grabbed models that are enhanced, but they adhere to the original, you know, content. And then, you know, and I've kind of swap some here and there out because, you know, personal preference. But yeah, I got like as far as like the ammo and health pickups, backpacks, etc., pentagram of protection. I got all that stuff from the copper mod because I like the small rotten packs. Visually, that was one thing about copper. I thought that was kind of nice. You know, when you're running around playing a map, you know, depending on the, you know, how dark the terrain is or shadows or whatever, you know, having the rotten pack be more visible is a nice thing. Plus the pentagram of protection got rid of the red Fulbrights, so because those didn't look all that sharp when you're, you know, coming up to a pentagram right in the shadow and you got these big giant glowing fat red Fulbrights. And then some of the you know, models I've gathered here and there, just personal preference. Like I liked I've always liked Chilo's grunt, because he's a shotgun wielding grunt, and when you play Quake, you know, and you know you got the grunts come after you and they're shooting at you, you know, they're holding those big bulky laser, you know, laser blasters, but when they shoot at you, it's shotgun sounds. And then if you kill them and you go over and you pick up their backpack, you get shells. So it's like I just thought it kind of made, you know, not only does the model look pretty nice, but it actually kind of solves a little bit of a logic issue with that particular. But I mean, most of it's all just aesthetics, basically. It's like, you know, it's subtle stuff like Lunaran's knight. You know, it's a nice looking knight. A lot of Chilo stuff. Captain Bubbs, you know, player and Rottweiler. But I mean, some stuff I didn't use off the authentic model pack, like the ogre. I know Coburn had that one. He took like the original ogre and he just basically rounded off his head a little bit, so it wasn't so cubish. And it looks, and it, but other than that, it's pretty much the same, you know. So when you're using the model, you know, the one I have, it's very mild, to where, you know, if it wasn't for like one or two items, you wouldn't even know it's a model pack. I know JCR gives me hell about it. He's like, oh, I like the original blocky models. I'm like, I do too. It's not like I can't take the pack out and play it without the pack. You know, I'm not, you know, it's not like, you know, I wake up and the cold sweats at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's like, where's my model pack? It's not the end of the world, but it's just something to play with.
Right. And Coburn's thing is pretty subtle on the ogre. I'm looking at it right now in a model viewer. It's not too bad. I mean, I think astute Quake players will notice a little bit of a difference. They'll notice like, oh, there's something different about that ogre. I like this version. I actually dig it. Oh, well, anyway, listen, we're running short on time. I've got to jump, but thank you for being a guest on a second time, your second appearance on the Quakecast.
Sure.
And then, hopefully the first of many, or the second of many more. So we'll see how this segment is received by our listeners, and there'll be more, I'm sure.
Okay, sounds good.
I want to thank Greenwood for joining us on the Quakecast, and also a big thank you to you, dear listener, for tuning in to the Quakecast whenever we decide to post these. We'll be back with more Quake-related content in the coming weeks, but in the meantime, please visit my friend The Motherlode at inthekeep.com. He has a fantastic podcast that has to do with arena first-person shooters, also the first-person shooter genre in general. He's been interviewing developers and players and all kinds of luminaries, mainly focused on multiplayer, but not always. So please check out inthekeep.com. And until next time, thanks again for listening.